Reading FC failed to continue their surge up the table on Saturday and suffered a 2-0 defeat at home to Charlton. After a run of 3 wins in 4, welcome to episode, 201? Almost started saying 100 and something then, such is force of habit for myself. Episode 201 of the Tarleton podcast, which of course after our jaunt away for episode 200 sees us come right back into match analysis with a defeat. Because that is, as curses go, I'm sure we are probably right up there. And welcome to the two guests I've got with me this evening, making an awesome threesome as we tackle, well, I suppose we're going into an international break. So this is the sort of result that we're going to have to dwell on for a couple of weeks. So joining me is Rob Langham of the Two Unfortunates blog. How's it going, mate?
Really well, thanks, Mark. Nice to be back on. I think it's about a year since my last appearance, so yeah. Thank you.
No, it's a pleasure, and it's also nice to have Matt Lawrence of the Panners and Nutmegs blog. How's it going, mate?
Hi, I'm all good, thanks, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm just about all right. We were just saying before we started that your curse of coming on just around the time of defeats. So I told you just before the weekend it might be a positive chat this time, but no, sadly not.
You can safely lay the blame at my door for appearing on this podcast. I'm the reason we didn't get 3 points on the Saturday.
Yeah, we were doing so well, weren't we? And typically the week that we didn't have a podcast was the week that, well, we did well, basically. So let's crack on then with the recap and talk about that 2-0 defeat to Charlton.
The Tarlehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlehurstend.com.
So 2-0 was to Charlton then on Saturday. This was the game that we all sadly went into thinking might be a bit of a decent chance. Purely because Charlton were good going into, you know, in the first few weeks and everything. But you like to be the team that kind of ends the form. You like to be the team that proves that you are the genuine contender. Sadly, that wasn't quite what happened, guys. And Rob, let's talk about this, the first half of this game first, because Reading played pretty well. Puskas hit the bar. He had a 1-on-1 denied. We were looking all right, even though we didn't get the goal.
Yeah, I think so. I think overall it was quite an encouraging performance first half, and I think we shaded it, really. There was also the fantastic overhead kick from Lucas Schau that got us all up out of our seats. And generally, I thought we controlled the game. I think Swift and Ajaria were both good in midfield, and the fullbacks were pushing on, albeit without having too much luck against a couple of very good fullbacks for Charlton. So, yeah, generally, I thought we played quite well. And I think Puskas in particular with the two chances, I mean, I actually think he did quite well to get on the one, the poacher's one in the box, and was a bit unlucky that it hit the bar. And the second one reminded me a bit of the goal he scored against Wickham, where he didn't really get hold of the ball straight away. But then in that match, got a second chance and put the ball in. This one, that didn't happen. And I think, Matt, you're aware of some quite interesting stats about Puskas's performance, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I personally thought Puskas looked quite good. And to be honest, like I said in some of my tweets, I don't know if people have seen them, but I think he's kind of the first striker we've had of his type in a long time. Kind of that poacher, always getting on the end of chances, looks to play off the shoulder and making sharp runs kind of off the defender's shoulders.
Kind of reminds me of Glenn Murray and Mate Vidra, probably the last two that we had like that.
I'd probably say, yeah, he's probably most similar in terms of his movements to Vidra, I would say. Hopefully the goal return's slightly better. The numbers are definitely suggesting that he is. I mean, Rob, you alluded to some of the numbers and definitely showing that Puskas is getting the chances at the moment. He's ranking third in the league for XG per 90. So if you're looking at that, I'm really personally really not too worried in terms of the fact that we're creating chances for him and he's getting on the end of them. He registered an XG of 1.05 in the game on Saturday. So if you're looking at that from a purely statistical point of view, it should be a certain goal. I mean, the 1v1, really he should have finished it. He doesn't need us to tell him that. But the one I was most impressed with, probably the chance to hit the bar with that little movement to get across his man to the near post, and the way he attacked the 6-yard box as well to get in front of his man. And like you say, Rob, it was unlucky it hit the bar, really. Because on another day, that could get worse connection. It bounces off his shin and goes in.
Yeah, but then that's basically the goal that he scored against Cardiff, or the second one. And an XG, that the expected goals stat you're alluding to there. The interesting thing, I think it was the first goal against Cardiff. That stat obviously says that he has a lot of these expected goals, but I think the first goal that he scored against Cardiff barely registered on that because he picked up the ball from such a deep like angle, basically, from so far away from the goal. And yet when you think the time he got to the finish, it was probably a very easy chance that he actually finished off. So Puskás getting into the right areas is good. However, you know, sadly, we are going to have to talk about the main factor of the game, and that those were the two chances that Charlton sort of created and scored in a way. The thing is, the question I want to ask you two guys is, are these goals easy fixes or are there deeper issues in them? First was deflected, the second was a penalty when we're chasing the game. But watching the highlights and just generally through the game, there's a sense that the opposition can counter very effectively against Reading by getting it out wide. The wing-backs are so high up, it means like Liam Moore has to be dragged across to right back effectively. He's a bit uncomfortable there. They had a chance from that in the first half that they didn't score. We're kind of vulnerable as well to quick moves down the middle when we're defending deep because the three have no real option but to be deep. Pele can be bypassed a little bit easily with him just being the one man. Strikers, the opposition strikers dropping deep, I think is causing us problems as well. Are these issues that, you know, you can put down to one game? Rob, do you think these are issues that are being, you know, are deeper issues and, you know, ultimately, are they fixable?
I don't think they're deeper issues, really. I think just on the day, having failed to take our chances and then letting in a goal, which came from a deflection, that meant the play became stretched. Charlton liked playing how we like to play on the counter with the game sort of really stretched over the full kind of 100 yards of the pitch. We tried to draw them in, but they remained compact and quite tight and organised. And I think one half that was admittedly pretty disappointing after several good performances is absolutely no reason to worry at the moment. I think, yes, there are little tweaks. There will be things that Gomez looks at and thinks we need to improve on that. But I think generally I'm not too worried.
And Matt, playing the three at the back, it's typically been something that only certain managers and only certain players and defenders have been able to master. You think of Antonio Conte, he's been very good at it in the past. Is it a case that Reading are going to have to take a bit of time to get used to it? Because a lot of the players, you think obviously, you know, Liam Moore, Matt Miazga, haven't necessarily played three at the back. And again, the wing-backs, Yadom and Richards, I can't think of a time myself when they played as the wing-back rather than the full-back. So this is going to have to be a system that beds in rather than is just a sort of overnight, you know, even after a couple of good performances, it can get kind of caught out still.
Yeah, I think in terms of the formation, I really don't think there's too much to worry about in terms of deeper issues, really. I think, like you say, it's going to be a bit of teething period, perhaps. I think, but then again, I think we've seen an instant impact from the change in formation. We've looked a lot more solid, kept two clean sheets in the previous week against Cardiff and Huddersfield. If you look at the goals we conceded, I think two of the last three have been from penalties. If you rule that out, you're looking at a very, very good return in terms of goals against. You're looking very tight at the back there. So the only goal coming off a deflection against Charlton, which was the Lecco goal for the first one, on another day, perhaps that doesn't go in as well. In terms of the back three, I'm quite happy with the makeup of it as well. I think we've got a nice blend of athleticism. And in terms of profiles, I think Moore's quite, I would say he's relatively comfortable out wide, given his physicality and kind of the pace he's got, able to defend 1v1. Miazga's an absolute rock in the air. I think he really adds something to us in that department that we've lacked for so long. As well as that, I think Morrison also addresses that issue. If you look at the West Brom game, I thought he was an absolute colossus. He just kind of commands people around the box, organises things in a way that perhaps others haven't. Maybe it's an experience sort of thing. Because if you look at it, both of our senior centre-halves previously, which were Miazga and Moore, with Moore being the skipper, I think he's only 26, isn't he? Morrison brings that kind of added experience. And the way he attacks the ball when it's in and around his box is very good. Can we call him a bit of a head it and kick it defender? Probably. But I don't think that's a disjustice to him. I think he fits that sort of profile that we've needed. It's something we've been needing for a long time within the team.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you say about sort of leadership and everything there. I'm pretty sure that with our first choice back three, obviously McIntyre was the one who played against Charlton. made his home full debut with Miazga injured. But Miazga's captain the USA, Morrison captain Birmingham, and obviously Moore's captain Reading. So as a back three, you almost can't really ask for any more realistic leadership in run that. So it's, you know, from a base to build on, it hopefully has it all. Let's be a little bit positive as we move through the recap then and consider, because we have been away for a fortnight, the games that we've missed covering. West Brom, of course, 1-1, went to Huddersfield and won 2-0. And then Plymouth we went to in the League Cup. And there was a lot to like about that. Again, the goals that we conceded, there was one that was blatantly out of play. So yes, we conceded two there. One was a very good finish from outside the area. So again, plenty of ways you can sort of spin that to be even more positive than it was. But Matt, what was your take on certainly that the West Brom and Huddersfield games, to go away from home twice in a week and come back with 4 points, could have been six. It was actually just a real breath of fresh air. And I can't think of the last time in the last few years when we've really gone away twice in a week and come away with 4 points.
It's been a very long time. That's a stat we'll have to pull out, isn't it? As to when the last time we got 4 points away from two away games in the same week was. Yeah, I thought the West Brom game was as close as we're probably going to get to a perfect away performance. To be honest, I thought we looked very solid at the back. As I mentioned previously, I thought Morrison was absolutely fantastic in that game, the way he defended his box. Ajaria looked fantastic in that. But then again, he's been probably our standout player this season and one of the ones I look forward to watching most when I go to the Mad Stad on Saturday. But yeah, again, it comes down to a penalty. We've given away a penalty in West Brom, which cost us 3 points. And again, on Saturday, it's another penalty. But in terms of the away performances, I really don't think we could have asked for too much more. It's a penalty in the last minute, and then we've kept a clean sheet away at Huddersfield. I know they're struggling, but you really can't argue with keeping clean sheets away from home. You're only going to put yourself in a good position. We've nicked a goal from a set piece at the end as well. And yeah, we've come away with that from that with 3 points, really.
You know, Rob, I thought before we went to Huddersfield, I thought this is the worst time to play them because they're going to have some sort of bounce. I think, was it just before they played us that they lost in the last minute to Cardiff? Obviously with the caretaker manager, it turned out to be, you know, almost a pretty simple away game. Yes, they had some chances in the first half, but as soon as we took the lead, we were very comfortable. And it just shows that any kind of, I mean, relegation fears, we'll talk about expectations in a second, but in terms of any relegation fears or any fears we will be battling down the bottom of the table, if you can go away to those out-of-form teams and just effectively cruise to a 2-0 win, that just elevates you so high up the table. Doing that four or five times a season just completely removes you from any kind of trouble, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Gomez takes real credit for the Huddersfield result. I wasn't at the game. I was at West Brom, but not in Huddersfield. But from what I understand is Huddersfield played a very high press for the first 60, 70 minutes. We're really closing us down. And we just kind of drew that punch in and just sort of parried them quite easily without them having too much in the way of direct chances on goal. And then they ran out of puff for the last half hour and we were able to pick them off with the two goals. A little bit unlike the Charlton game, I have to say, where Charlton weren't drawn in by us. They were quite reticent. So I think that sort of Huddersfield are sort of trying to adapt tactically, I think, to the Championship and maybe struggling at the moment. And of course, they're going to have players who are there who don't want to be there. And there's all those issues you have with a relegated side. But yes, it does say a lot for Gomez's tactics and the team. And just to echo what Matt was saying, I mean, the solidity of that back three in that game and also in the West Bromwich game was fantastic to see. Really, really good.
I think it's been such a long time since we can talk positively about the defence as well and feel like I'm going into games feeling secure, and the fact that I don't think we're going to concede from a sloppy individual error. I mean, I remember coming on the pod in previous seasons and it was always talking about an individual error at the back. And it feels like we've kind of eradicated that from our game as well, which, along with the tactics that Gomez has implemented, I think that's just a real bonus and shows that there is a lot more confidence within the side there, that those silly individual errors are being kind of removed from our game.
it's a credit as well to recruitment in that sense, because, you know, the players that we were playing that were making these sort of errors, you talk about Dave Edwards, talk about, I mean, Tyler Blackett is one who's still at the club and has still got plenty of potential, but he was in terrible form for a lot of the time. Chris Gunter is probably another one that people throw into that bracket. The quality of the players that we're playing now is just elevated, and it's been elevated since January, since we, you know, the five loan players and everything that we bought in there, and the players that we've been able to bring in sort of since, the likes of Morrison, just are that step above the sort of punts or the disinterested ex-Premier League outcasts that we were playing before. And you know, that's a testament to the recruitment side of things as well. And on that note, let's talk expectations, because we are at the first international break now. It's not quite, I think it's the Koppel mantra, or certainly like a old mantra of, I won't consider really the table to be any kind of relevant until 10, 12 games in. But we are at a bit of a hiatus in the league now. We can take stock and see where the team is at. And Rob, the playoff dreams that kind of sprouted up around the sort of, you know, the signings and the decent results as well, perhaps a bit too sudden to be realistic as yet, but certainly it doesn't change the fact that we are capable of being strong, of a comfortable finish. This result, the Charlton result, also shows that it's a young team and it's in need of time. So where are your sort of expectations at the moment?
Oh, I think a good competitive mid-table finish where we're in every match by the end of the season would delight me. I think that would be big progress from last season. I think playoffs, I mean, you never know, but I wouldn't like to get carried away. I think there's a lot of good teams in the division, and importantly, a lot of them have got a lot more experience than us. I mean, you take a team like Brentford, they had Ben Rama back on Saturday against Derby and cruised to a 3-0 and apparently played absolutely brilliantly. And up till then, they'd been below us in the table. So, you know, I think we have to be realistic, but there's a lot of promise. We look like a really decent competitive side, but I think like a good mid-table finish would do me for this season, I think.
Matt, what do you think about the sort of the mid-table finish? It's in a way, it's almost a little bit disappointing to think, oh, a mid-table finish. But actually, it just sounds quite nice, doesn't it? I think what Rob said then, the being in every game and actually competing and going to, you know, if we go to grounds like Leeds and Brentford and have a good chance of upsetting a team that is, you know, maybe a bit higher in the table, and when they come to us, certainly have a good chance of beating them. It sounds quite nice, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I echo Rob's kind of thoughts there, really, that anything from mid-table upwards, I'm delighted with. If we can get a top half finish, I'm very happy with the way the season would pan out, to be honest. If you look at how it's been the last few years, to then finish 12th or upwards in the table, I mean, I'd be delighted with that. Just to be safe, to be honest, is I know it sounds like not much to ask for, but I do think that's kind of, that's the minimum requirement, is to let's get to safety first. I know that's a real cliche, but you never know, do you, how these things work out. But I mean, in terms of the squad, it looks a lot stronger than previous years. The performances we've seen thus far suggest that we're going to be in games. We've had a relegated team from the Premier League in Cardiff come to the Medeski, and we absolutely dismantled them. It's been a long time since we've just dismissed a team at home and absolutely played them off the park, which we did. I felt we did to Cardiff, to be honest. I didn't really think they were in the game at any point. West Brom, like I say, really good away performance, almost 3 points there. I mean, if we kept two clean sheets and got 6 points against those two and then went away to Huddersfield and got another clean sheet and 3 points, I think people would be talking about us in a different light and perhaps we would be getting carried away. But maybe the Charlton result is a reality check in itself, but they're riding the crest of a wave at the moment. They didn't have particularly many chances up until the first goal, but when they did, they've taken their chances and they're incredibly efficient in front of goal at the moment. So I don't think we'll be the first team to fall victim to Charlton this season.
Well, they are second in the table at the moment. And do you think that they are kind of deserving of the, you know, having seen them now, are they kind of deserving of that sort of promotion push status they've got? Swansea are top at the moment. And you said, Rob, that it's a strong league at the moment. I'm kind of agreeing because, you know, teams didn't have much money to spend this season, so they've basically just been able to work on what they've got. And I think that is a, you know, actually quite an underrated thing to be able to do, especially at this level. So is the Championship looking like it is stronger than last year? Is it looking like there are going to be, you know, a good 12, 14 teams that can get into the playoffs? Because we've had it in previous years where the playoffs have been, you know, almost, there's certainly last year, three of the playoff teams of the top five were kind of set from the turn of the year, really. Then everyone else, generally when they played them, just kind of got beat.
Yeah, I think it's very open, although I do fancy Leeds, I think, despite the defeat on Saturday. By all accounts, they dominated the game and Swansea caught them with a Wayne Routledge sucker punch at the end. I think Charlton, they remind me a bit of when we came up in the mid-90s. You know, I think they're kind of surprising a few teams with how they've approached games. And I think they fully deserve to be in second at the moment. The only thing I'd say is the off-field situation at the club is still pretty catastrophic. So that might have an impact on morale. And once they've had their next defeat, you know, if it's a bad one, you know, that might mean they'll start to slide. But I wouldn't be surprised if they'd be top six. They look tremendously well organised to me. And then, as I said, you know, teams like Brentford coming from the middle of the table will probably feature again. And we'll also have some teams who are maybe going to fall away and be a bit disappointing. But, yeah, all to play for, definitely, right down to 15th or 16th, I think.
Yeah, and Matt, the thing is with Charlton at the moment, statistically speaking, Charlton are a bit of a, you know, a misnomer. They're an anomaly. They're the team that, in theory, it, over the next few months should drop down. But as we know with statistics, and a certain Yap Stan team that got to the player final in spite of all the odds, that doesn't necessarily mean that things will change for them.
You took the words right out of my mouth there, Mark. yeah, at the moment they are the anomaly. They don't take many shots, but when they do, they're on target. I think before the game, I think they were averaging around 58% of their shots on target, despite having the lowest in the league. And the league average was about 33%. So they're almost running at double the number of shots on target, or percentage of shots on target, which is really quite something. So that when they are getting shots away and opportunities, they're of good quality, which ultimately will result in goals. I mean, I was really impressed with the way that Bowyer set up the team on Saturday. I thought the way he set up with his strikers was very interesting, to be honest. The way he sat Lecco and Taylor on the wider centre halves when in possession and out of possession, really, so that it emphasised Morrison to get on the ball and play out through him. In the first half, we were able to do so, and he was playing short through Pella. But then he brought on, I think it was Anike, on about the hour mark, and that kind of, for me, changed the way the game was being played and kind of the tempo of the game, because he sat on Pelle in the middle of the park and Morrison then had his kind of easy out on the ball removed, which meant the build-up play emphasis was on Morrison, which we know he probably hasn't got the greatest passing range, and I think that showed. And it really wasn't helped, or that coupled with the substitutions that Gomez made in terms of the wing backs, really didn't help in the way that we played out. So to be honest, I was thoroughly impressed with what Bowyer did and the changes he made and the way he adapted to it. So I really can't bemoan Charlton being in second from what I've seen from them firsthand.
Well, speaking of managers, let's hear from what Jose Gomez said after the game, and then we'll come back and finish off the recap.
Very good first half. We create very good chances to score. Nice football. We deserve it to be winning at halftime. But this league is like that. If you don't kill, you must keep the focus all the time, because we cannot find favorite team in this league, you know, and all the teams can beat all the teams. In the second half, after their first goal, it was a lucky shot. The ball touched, I think, the leg of McIntyre. The team looked a bit scared because it's not easy to score against us, and they showed a bit of scare. But anyway, if we can find a good thing in this bad result, is that in the beginning of the season, my players have been showing the most important thing that they must improve. We cannot repeat the mistakes. So I should take the positive things from this game. And the positive thing is nobody. It doesn't matter the level of their CV. Nobody can relax even 1 second in this league. And it was very tough. But it's one way to learn, you know, and we are learning the worst way. We are learning with our mistakes. What we cannot do, and I'm sure that we will learn with this, is repeat the mistakes. So we did mistakes in the first two games. We improved a lot. We showed a lot of strong points and nice points. We get 7 points in 1 week, plus the cup game, and after we should give more. But the only person responsible for this result is me. I take all the responsibility of this result, and I'm sure that my players will show completely different things, not in the next game. But during all the season, it's a long season, we have 40 games in front of us. We just need to show more consistency, because we cannot show fantastic things and after bad things. That's our focus now. We should put in this, find the strong consistency and don't get any chance to our opponent to use the space that we give when we show that we are scared. So we cannot be scared to play football. We must fight for all the challenge and try to win all the challenge. So I'm disappointed with some things that happened today, but these players that we are unhappy today were the same players that gave 7 points, so we need to help them to be better. We need to help them to improve, and I'm sure that we'll do it in the future.
The last point I want to bring up about the Charlton game before we move into the mailbag then, guys, is just the kind of the reaction he had to going 1-0 down. And I'm trying to think of how many times Reading have really gone 1-0 down this season, and it's certainly not too many. He kind of threw the kitchen sink at it. Basically, I think it's about just after the hour mark that he put on Yaku Meite and Lucas Boye for Richards and Diadon, and effectively traded fullbacks for wingers in his mind. But I'm not sure it really worked out that way. It was kind of fullbacks for strikers who didn't want to be the fullbacks they had to be. Is this a sense for you, Matt, that he effectively just got it wrong?
Yeah, I think he's kind of held his hands up, hasn't he, in terms of the presser, and said he probably didn't get this one right. I mean, as a fan, am I unhappy that I've seen my manager go and try and win a game at home? Absolutely not. More to him. Let's go and try and win games at home. Let's just try and win games of football. It's nice to see us try and attack teams. In terms of the tactics and the personnel, yeah, it probably was wrong. In terms of the personnel that brought on, I thought Boye was fine if he's going to stay out wide. He's good 1v1. If we can get him higher up the pitch, that's fantastic. The one that I felt really threw things off was the Meite one, because he was kind of neither here nor there defensively and positionally. The distances were totally out. He was too far away in terms of receiving the ball from the back three, so they didn't quite have an option. Wasn't wide enough because he wants to come in and get shots away on his left foot, which, once again, I'm absolutely fine with. He got a lot of goals for us last year. I mean, personally, I think I would have preferred to have seen Meite come on for Zhao through the middle and perhaps had another player that is better 1v1 in someone like Barrett. And if we can get the ball to, say, Barrett or Boye out wide and just feed them for 10, 15 minutes and just say, go and beat your man, get some crosses into the box for the likes of Meite and Puskas. I think that's probably what Gomez was going for, but the execution just wasn't there in terms of personnel and team shape. I don't know what you guys thought about it, or if I've totally misinterpreted what Gomez is doing there.
No, well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I mean, Rob, the first thing that I remember about José Gomez from the Man United FA Cup game that he had in the first few weeks of his tenure was, I think it was at half time, he took off maybe, I think it was Blackett or someone was injured, and he put on Sonny Aluko. And I thought, wow, that's a very attacking change. You know, we're losing at Man United. I guess he's just decided, let's have a crack and let's see what we can do. And I applauded that. So it would be, I suppose, from my point of view on that sense, it would be wrong to totally dismiss and totally turn down the thing that he's done against Charlton.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it was worth the shot. We were 1-0 down. We were struggling a little bit with, as Matt mentioned, Morrison's link through to Pelé being kind of broken off. Neither of the fullbacks had really had too much luck against Charlton's fullbacks, who were really, really good. So I just think it was worth bringing in that extra creativity at 1-0 just to see whether it would work or not. As it happens, it didn't. But, you know, I thought it was quite an inventive thing to do. And, you know, on another day, it might have happened for him and we'd all be hailing him as a genius. So you know, back to the drawing board on that one, but worth a try.
Yeah, well, back to the drawing board is exactly where José Gomez is going to have to spend the next fortnight, as it is the international break. So we'll move on then from the recap and go into Mailbag, where we'll be talking about whether this is actually the right time for an international break or not.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at The Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/TheTarlhurstEnd.
So RoyalsFan36 with the first Twitter question to us on the Mailbag, and he just said, should we even worry? I thought we played well. Puskas needs to improve his finishing and Zhao needs to get more shots off, but I didn't think we were that poor. We were positive and created chances. I'm quite optimistic. I think we'll beat Boa. Well, I think we've covered the should we worry too much, but there's perfectly agreeable points there, certainly with Puskas, as we were talking about earlier. Probably on another day would have taken both his chances. And Stephen asks us, which strikers from Reading's past or present would have made the best wing-backs? Now, as we were just saying, José Gomez kind of opted to put two strikers as wing-backs during the second half. And I was kind of thinking about this one, guys. My mind immediately drew to Kevin Doyle as a good wing-back, as someone who would run hard and all the rest of it. But I was also remembered, as soon as I thought that he was played at right wing for pretty much the entire season we got relegated out of the Premier League back in 2008-9, I think it was. So, or 7-8 rather. But in terms of wing strikers that make good wing-backs, Matt, what names immediately jump out of the top of your head? I think Shane Long would probably be another one for me.
Yeah, I think Shane Long was probably the most obvious one that sprung to my mind. I mean, he's a pure work rate, isn't he, in Desire? Get up and down the line. I mean, I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened in the Premier League, where he's been forced out wide, and then could he be Ireland's answer to Dirk Kuyt?
Well, the thing is, Ireland for the national team have about four good wing backs at the moment, so they're probably struggling to fit all them in. What do you think about strikers, potential wing backs in them?
Well, I came up with three suggestions. One of them is actually still with the team at the moment, and that's Jordan Obita, who started as an attacking player, if not an out-and-out forward. He was very much an attacking player, but was converted to fullback by Nigel Adkins. And then from the past, Bobby Convey was bought as a striker that then ended up as a kind of winger, not really a fullback, of course, because he had Nicky Shorey behind him, but, you know, he was, you know, moved out wide. And then going back further, Michael Jilks kind of played in both positions, but was mainly an out-and-out winger. But he did play as a striker in the Samoa Cup win. But I remember him and Steve Richardson as kind of fullbacks, I think, at some point in that same league season. So you know, there have been precedents, but you certainly need a good pair of lungs to play that wing-back role. And I think at the moment with Richards and Yeardon, we're quite fortunate that we've got two players who are able to do that. So I'm quite optimistic.
Yeah, I think you're bang on the money there, Rob, to be honest. I think we've got really good options at fullback at the moment with Richards and Yeardom. I think you can probably throw Rinomota into the hat as well. We've seen him play right back up against United in the FA Cup. I was kind of surprised that we didn't see Gomez throw him on at right wing back when Yeardom was taken off, if I'm honest.
He wasn't too good against Wickham, I'd have to say, in the League Cup. He started at right wing back.
Yeah, didn't have his best game against Wickham. But, I mean, in terms of another option there, I think we've I think he could be a very viable option in that position if the likes of someone like Gunter isn't going to get a look in this season.
Yeah, it's funny with Gunter. Not, I mean, as you said, Rob, you've got such good options. You've got Tyler Blackett, not even, as far as I'm aware, he's not even fit at the moment. Jordan Obita is slowly getting back to fitness, probably a bit too early to throw him into a league game, probably make an appearance off the bench, probably after the international break to ease him back in. And then the two that we got at the moment, I'm very happy with them, to be honest. I remember Omar Richards in his debut away to Derby a couple of years ago. I was very impressed with his technique and his sort of his composure on the ball. And that, you know, those are very vital things for a modern wing back. Needs to be able to get into those final areas, and if not put the ball in himself, has to at least, you know, tee up the man who does. So it's looking good for wing backs at the moment. And finally, the final question we've got from a pretty short mailbag this week is Mark Lawrence asking, the international break, is this good or bad timing? Now, I'm tempted, Matt, to say this is good timing, because Gomez has said himself that, you know, you want these problems to come up earlier in the season rather than later. We've not got a huge amount of players going off on international duty. We've had a lot of games, and certainly when we get back, we're going to have a lot of games again. Just a nice couple of weeks off, back on the training ground, take stock. Yes, we've just been beaten, but we've had some really good results. So morale is pretty high. Good chance to work on the tactics. Good chance to rest up. And then we go again in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think this gives us a nice little opportunity to kind of assess how the new signings have settled in. Obviously, we've had the change in formation. So the shift from the 4 to the 3 at the back. Seen how things have changed there. We've seen it work tremendously well against Cardiff. And then we've seen Charlton probably outsmart us a little bit on Saturday. So there's a lot for Gomez and his team to go away and think about. It's kind of, I like to see how we respond to the likes of, or how Charlton implemented their two strikers on us, because I can see other teams replicating that sort of system against us. So having 2 weeks on the training ground to come up with some schemes and ways we can play through that sort of press when it does happen, I think it's only going to be a good thing for us.
And Rob, you don't like to dwell on the defeat, but I suppose in the circumstances, we've probably just about got the right sort of defeat to dwell on.
I think so. It's just a slightly dodgy half of football. I think we'll look back on this start of the season as being highly satisfactory. We've progressed to the third round of the League Cup, and you know, we're sitting in mid-table in the league. And I think generally it's a good time, really, for the team to just take stock. One or two players like Matt Miazga, Tyler Blackett, people like that, you know, hoping that, you know, they might move back towards fitness. And Jordan Obita as well, of course, who sort of came into the team against Plymouth, which was great to see. And if anybody's missing the football, they can always get themselves up to Tranmere to watch the women's team kick off their season against Liverpool.
Well, that, sir, is the perfect segue into News Bites.
Reading News Bites on the Tarlhurst End podcast.
And it is indeed on Sunday at 2 o'clock, the first game for the women's team in the Women's Super League versus Liverpool. So get yourself up to Tranmere, as Rob says, for some football action if you're missing it over the international break. Just to update you, full News Bites then on the other teams and how they're getting on. The under-23s lost 3-0 to West Ham last time out. They're currently just about to finish playing West Brom, so when someone's talking, I'll update people on how that's gone as I quickly googled that. The under-18s, they're 2 points from 4 games in the Premier League so far, 3-3 versus West Ham on Saturday. They lost to Fulham and Brighton previously, and they now face Swansea after the internationals. Other news, we've got Wolves in the third round of the Carabao Cup. That's on Wednesday, the 25th of September. And, Rob, this is not the sort of, probably not the sort of trip that we really wanted, but with Wolves actually in the Europa League group stage, there's a reasonable chance they'll just play all of their kids and we might actually get to nick something.
Absolutely. I mean, it's also the Portuguese connection, of course, with the two managers, which is will be nice for them. I mean, yeah, absolutely, Wolves. I mean, this is the last game they want at the moment with Europa League group stage coming. That said, I think we'll probably also take the opportunity, as we have in, as we did in the Plymouth game, to field a weakened side is perhaps a bit strong, because obviously we would like to see the younger players and the alternative players come in. And yeah, it's not an ideal draw. I'd like to have seen us, you know, maybe drawn against a team at home where we could have a better chance of progress. And I think we still start as second favourites in this for sure. But yeah, I mean, there's a little sneaky chance we could do something. You know, I don't think it's a completely insurmountable thing.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. It's the League Cup at the end of the day. So if we do come up against a Wolves team that, you know, play all their best players, then, and thankfully they beat us, then, you know, c'est la vie, it will move on. It's certainly not the competition that we expected to be doing well in at the start of the season. Other news going around, the main international call-up is that Omar Richards has been called up to the England under-21 squad. So congratulations to him and good luck. So keep an eye out for that. Other news breaking tonight, because tonight is the Monday night is the European transfer window closing. And just before I go on to that, Reading under-23s are beating West Brom under-23s 2-1 at the moment. So hopefully that's how it stays in the latter stages there. But yes, the European transfer window closing. Andrijan Novakovic has left Reading FC and joined Frosinone, Serie B, the Italian second-tier team, on a four-year deal. No word of an official transfer fee or what that transfer fee is yet. But, Matt, it's difficult with Novakovic, isn't it? Because on the one hand, he's played very well in Holland for a couple of teams, scored lots of goals, came back to the team this season, got his chance in pre-season. And then on the other hand, he obviously hasn't taken that chance because perhaps he just doesn't fit in with Jose Gomez. And also, if we were selling someone who, you know, a lot of people thought could score maybe 10, 15 goals in the Championship this season, if he truly was of that quality, he wouldn't necessarily be going to the second tier in Italy.
Yeah, I think he's for me, he's a bit of an unknown entity. I think I've only seen him play a handful of minutes in the flesh, really. So to be commenting on him, I'm really not too sure. But you look at the likes of the players we brought in, we've got Lucas Jao within the side. Mate got a lot of goals last year. Puskas as well, ahead of him in the pecking order. You've also got to take into consideration the development of guys like Danny Loder.
Are you going to Sam Baldock as well?
Blumenek, yeah, we've got Sam Baldock as well. Yeah, so it's kind of, you've got four ahead of him, and another one of them is Danny Loder, another young player. Are you going to, so we need to look at how we're developing them in terms of their pathway. Are we going to try and share the minutes 50-50 between the two of them? Or are we going to say, look, hedge our bets and go, look, I believe Danny Loder is the more talented of the two players. It seems that Gomez feels that way. I mean, from what I've seen of Danny Loder, I'm a fan. I like him. I'd like him to develop at the club as well. I believe both of them were in the last year of their contracts as well. So if it's toss up between the two of them, I'm relatively happy with seeing Danny Loder. It may be a statement that comes back to bite me on the backside, but we'll wait and see how he gets on at Frosinone.
And Rob, the thing is, when it comes to these sort of players, is as Matt says, we've barely seen him play, or certainly most of us have barely seen him play. And from what I gather, he is pretty much the sort of poacher type sort of striker. And we've just gone and signed a poacher's type sort of striker who was playing for Inter Milan. So it's not as if, you know, we've replaced him with someone of lesser or probably even comparative quality. And the thing that you have to then look at is who has seen him play. A number of managers have seen him play over the years. I think Jaap Stam has seen him play, Clement, obviously Gomez as well. None of them wanted to play him in the Championship or give him significant minutes in the Championship. And therefore, you have to lead to the conclusion that the three of them all, you know, they know the most, and that it's not a surprise, therefore, that he's left.
No, you're right. I mean, they've all seen him on the training ground. I think I'm the same as Matt. I think I saw him come on in a game probably about 3 years ago now. And, you know, I think it's been difficult because he's been a bit out of sight, out of mind with the loans that he's had in the Netherlands. If he'd been in League One, we might have been able to get a clearer view of like what his potential was. But I think there would have been more suitors for his services had he been the real deal. And of course it could come back Michael Antonio style and sort of bite us on the backside. But I think generally, I think in the end, probably the player himself, he definitely wants to be playing. every game now in a season. I think Frosinone is a team that have been in Serie A a couple of times recently, is actually quite a nice move for him.
Yeah, it's a good way of pointing it out that it's decent for the player as well, and good luck to him, because certainly from a Reading point of view, the idea of having a sell-on clause or even a buyback is certainly not out of the question. So we'll have to see how Novakovic develops, but it will be away from the Madstad. Something that is happening at the Madstad on September the 5th at 8 p.m. That's September the 5th, is the Star Fans Forum. That is going to be a women's special, in fact, with Kelly Chambers, the manager, Kirsty Pearce, the former club captain and newly appointed general manager, and Natasha Harding, who is a current player and Welsh international. They're the three who will be answering your questions. It's completely free. It's at the Madstad. It's for members only, though. So, Star members, it's free for you. It's ten. I think it's about a tenner to join Star. So, get yourself down to that on the 5th if you've got some, got an evening spare, want to go and chat women's football. And I'm sure it'll be a very interesting evening down there. There's also a couple of other things going on. There's the confirmation of two new board members for Star, a couple of outstanding Hall of Fame presentations from March's inductees as well. So, a good night down at the Madstad if you fancy getting down for the Star Fans Forum. We won't be at the Madstad for a couple of weeks at least, and we'll talk about what we're up to next in On the Football Pitch with Big Game Preview.
The Tarlhurst End Podcast. By Reading fans, for Reading fans.
Right, well, let's start with the predictions, actually, because it's a couple of weeks before we go to Middlesbrough, so I won't ask for predictions at this date, but I will update you on how the prediction league is going, because it's been a couple of weeks since we've been able to do that. And also, I'm doing it because I am happens to be ahead at the moment with my 2-0 prediction for Huddersfield, and also West Brom and Cardiff. I got right the result right, if not the score. So I'm on 5 points. And then following through is Johnny and Westy, both on 4. Johnny got 2-1 for Huddersfield. Westy got 2-0 for Huddersfield, so he got 3 points for that. Ollie got West Brom nailed on, so he's on 3 points. As is Wim, who got Hull nailed on. Handbags got the Cardiff and Huddersfield score, or results rather, right. Sim got the West Brom and Huddersfield results right. None of us got anything for Charlton because we're too optimistic and we are fools. So, prediction league out of the way then. Matt, we go to Middlesbrough on the 14th of September at 3 p.m. The last few years we've been going to Middlesbrough, I've been dreading it. And this year, actually, we might even be the favourites.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a long time since we've been fancying ourselves in away games, doesn't it? But after the last couple of performances against West Brom and Huddersfield, I'm feeling quietly optimistic. I think Borough have had a bit of a mixed bag at home. I think they've had a win, draw and a loss thus far. Like I say, it's still very early on in the season to try and suss teams out because the sample size of games is so small. But we know they've got dangerous players. Asamoah Longo always is a striker I like, always seems to do well against us as well, always gives you a bit of a torrid time and really isn't a striker you'd like to play against. But yeah, I fancy us going there and perhaps causing an upset. I think if we can control the midfield with Ajaria and Swift, I think we're in with a real chance as well. I fancy us with Puskas as well. I feel like we've got a chance in the game of, it feels like a first time in a long time where we can go to games and perhaps kind of soak pressure and then have the quality to break on teams and have the faith that we're going to have strikers that take chances.
Yeah, Middlesbrough at the moment, they're just a single win over Wigan at home, 2 straight draws. So, you know, it's Jonathan Woodgate's first management job as well. So I guess it always is always going to be baby steps with them. And obviously Reading, you know, beating us is a pretty decent baby step. They'll see it. And therefore, Rob, is it a good time to play them? Because they're certainly not the finished article yet. And we have a decent chance that we're probably further down the line of being the finished article than they are.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that said, I think I'd struggle to see us get a win. I think I would go for a draw personally, just because it's such a tough place to go. I mean, I think the free coach travel, assuming this is one of the games that's part of that, is key for this, because too often we go to grounds like Middlesbrough or a long way away and we have like 200, 250 fans with us and, you know, you're starting on the back foot because there's just not enough support. And, you know, hopefully the free coach travel will mean that will maybe take double that or maybe even more and then make a bit more of a noise, and that inspires the players. I certainly think that we can go there and be competitive. I mean, I agree with Matt that Asamoah Longo is obviously always dangerous. Lewis Wing, who's one of the younger players, really broke into the team last year and has looked really excellent as well. So I think they can hurt you. But I think their performances have been a bit patchy this season. I think they've had some really good ones where they've been a bit unlucky and not got the points. I think there was, I can't remember which game it was. I think it was, well, the first game of the season against Luton, really, where they really should have won. But then there have been other games where they've been hardly in the game at all. So I think, I think a draw would be a good result away from home, as it is for most games in this division, to be honest.
Yeah, I think for me, it just comes down to the start, that first 15 minutes, because Middlesbrough, their fans, I think they're very ready to get behind Jonathan Woodgate and be sort of a team with a fresh sort of local identity that they've lacked under Tony Pulis before. And if we can go down there and maybe kill the atmosphere, at least prevent an atmosphere from being built, you know, take the game into our own sort of, you know, our own, the way that we want to play, and just generally, you know, to be steady over the 90 minutes, don't let any momentum build up, because Middlesbrough, they're the type of team that strike me as soon as the momentum builds behind them, very difficult to stop. So hopefully we'll be going there on the 14th and coming back with something, because the Riverside, usually when we win, it means that we're going to do quite well that season, or at least it's a significant win when we do go and get it. So that draws to a close episode 201 of the Tarleton podcast. There is no show next week because it's the international break, and as it happens, the week after that, I'm out the country. So I will try and sort out someone, but hopefully Ollie is going to be all, yeah, no pressure, Ollie, if you're listening to this, because I haven't mentioned it to him yet, but hopefully someone will be around to step into our boots and at least do a quick show after the Middlesbrough game, and then hopefully after that, everything will be back to normal with myself in charge. So I'll bid everyone a very happy couple of weeks, and thank you very much, Matt, for joining us, and I'm very sorry that it wasn't a win we could discuss.
No worries, thank you very much for having me. I'll try and work on the jinx. Try and get a win next time.
Maybe I'll ask you after the result next time and wait for...
Definitely, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the best way. And Rob, thank you very much. It has been a little bit of time since you've been on, but it's been a pleasure having you on tonight.
Oh, real pleasure to be back, Mark. Thanks very much.
Brilliant. So thank you, everyone, again for listening. It's the international break now, so we get a bit of time to not dwell on the defeat, but dwell on what's actually been a pretty productive start to the season for Reading FC, and come back in a couple of weeks' time ready for more, and hoping that Jose Gomez's team can surprise us in a good way for a little while longer yet. Come on, you ass.
Funny how the crumbs always leave a trail, even when it seems as hard.